My name is Kaji and I'm a postdoctoral researcher at the Technical University of Berlin. And what I'll be presenting today is how to generate local spectral skies for spectral daylighting simulation that now I hope you all have a better idea of the Marshall's presentation, but using radiative transfer simulations. And I'll explain that more as I go on. So a bit of most commonly that we use when we use daylighting simulations, we have the CIE or the periskies, and these skies are luminance based skies, so they don't have both the color, neither do they have the spectra of the skies. And both the sun and the sky, this is why I always have both the components in my mind, so both the sun and the sky, they are colorless, and usually the sun is modeled as an equal energy white source. Now, when we go into the more newer versions of daylight simulations, and that's something that Marshall explained, when you have new metrics that now require not just the visual spectrum of light, but you also need the non-visual effects of light, and then you need more or the newer platforms, which are the spectral simulation tools, and then the skies that they use now need to have both the color and the spectra of the skies. And so you can see those are the four, so the three which Marshall already mentioned, and there's one more which is LUMOS, which was developed by one of our colleagues in the Technical University of Berlin. And the skies that these platforms use, so I'll just go a bit into detail. So LARC, it still uses the CIE and the periskies, so there's still the luminance from these skies. But then as a user, you can give it a daylight spectra, and then it gets transposed to this sky. The sun here is not colored, and it is actually still an equal energy white source in LARC. And then if you go to ALPHA, it uses atmospheric based models to compute the sky. So it uses LibraTran, which is a radiative transfer library. And they basically pre-compute all their skies to give, and it has both the spectra of the sky as well as the sun. And the sun, because of course, like in real time, when you have a color of the sun, it's because there is a light transfer through the atmosphere, and you see this change in color of the sun when the sun is low in the horizon or high in the deep. So then you have our, which, okay, so, yes, so you, in LibraTran, what happens is you have layers of atmospheres, and it goes over several layers, and in each of these layers, these atmospheric constituents, they are homogeneously described. And this description contains, you describe the gas profiles that are there in the atmosphere, the temperature, the water vapor, the surface properties, the albedo. So basically everything that happens in real life, because it's a physics-based model. So you have these gas profiles, so you have the water vapor, the aerosol profiles. From there it gets the optical properties of this. And then the other inputs that you need is the solar spectrum, which is the extraterrestrial solar spectrum, as well as the location and the time of where you're simulating these skies. Now, there's no geometry involved. LibraTran is purely an atmospheric model where you generate and you get outputs of the broadband irradiances, the spectral radiances or spectral irradiances. This is not any building simulation tool. It's just atmospheric-based sky simulation. And basically, to describe these atmospheric constituents, the gases, you have already predefined atmospheric files that are available in LibraTran. So they are standard atmospheric files that was released by the U.S. Air Force Geophysics Laboratory a while ago in 1986. And you have all these different latitude profiles that are used. Okay. Now, the way that the framework that I'm proposing or that we would like to propose is that in these atmospheric files, you can modify certain parameters. So in a way, we're looking at these five parameters. If we give it more like a measured input of atmospheric pressure, ozone, nitrogen dioxide, water vapor, and aerosol. So these are more measurable parameters. And one thing I say is, I forgot to say, spectral data is very rare. Spectral data is not easily available. There are very few sites across the world that actually measures spectral data. And this is why we go over several versions of how data, either through an L2CCT model or through LibraTran or one of these atmospheric models, because measurement itself is very expensive to do. Now, that said, these atmospheric parameters, they are probably available in most of the meteorological observation sites, also all the weather stations. So these are something that you can read of either in a weather station, or there are databases out there that you can get these data from. So, and we chose these four parameters because these are parameters that affect the visual spectrum of solar radiation. And the way is that, so once we give these spectral, or once we give these atmospheric data, you can plug that into radiative transfer or Libratran, and then you get these outputs of the broadband irradiances, so downward diffuse global irradiances that you have in watts per square meter, but you also get the spectral irradiances as well as the spectral radiances. Now, what I'm going to show here is basically using this method to modify it and creating a more location-based model and comparing that with the measurements. And I don't explain the other part, which is implementation of the spectral skies, because this is just raw data, and that data, it can be represented in basically all the simulation models. So how Alpha does it, or it can even be plugged into LARC, or because you get different kinds of data. You get the global horizontal that LARC uses. You get the patch data that OWL or the other plugin use. Now, coming to the measurement side, so of course for comparison, and like I said, measurement data of spectra is very, very difficult to get. So it's not common to a lot of sites to have. We have one in the Technical University of Berlin that measures the patch, spectral data of the patch. But what I'm using currently is the data from Lindenberg, because Lindenberg is a small city in Germany, and they are a super site. They have a meteorological observatory, which is called as the Richard Assmann Observatory, and they're affiliated with the Deutsche Wetter Dienst, which is basically the German Meteorological Service. So because they have a super site, they have both the atmospheric data that I want, and they also have the spectral data that I want to compare. Not just the spectral, but the broadband as well as the spectral data. So I get both these atmospheric data, which I mentioned, the water vapor, the oxygen, these four parameters. I get this data as well as the data set to compare this with from the Lindenberg site. Okay. Now I just, because now it's all statistics and data, so I just give you a bit of detail into what that data is. So I have about, I'm doing this validation or this comparison for only cloud-free clear skies for now. And we have about 101 timestamps. So these 100 timestamps, they basically represent data for February to September. So we wanted it to represent both the seasons as well as different times of the day, so that the different solar zenith angles are represented in the data set. So we have 101 timestamps, and these and the solar zenith angles for these timestamps range from 41 to 78. And a subset of this data set is used for direct solar irradiances, that is 39 timestamps are used for the solar radiance comparison. So the sun, basically. And this is just to give you an idea of how much these atmospheric parameters change. So if you look at the ozone level from February to September, so they are the data, this is from the data set that I have from the measured atmospheric parameters. And this is what, I forgot. Can I go back once, just to let you know that in Libratran, what we can actually do here is that these default profiles that you have, you can use them just as it is. This is what Alpha does as well. They use the mid-latitude summer profile. You don't need to modify anything. You can use it as it is to generate these spectral skies. So my version is to be able to say that we modify only these four parameters to use it. In this case, this is where the default profiles of ozone is. And this is all the red lines that you see in this graph is where the default profile parameters are. And the data set that I have, because they are actual measured data, it has a variation. The ozone has a variation across the season. The pressure has a variation across the season. Water vapor has a variation across the season, as well as the aerosol has a variation across the season. It's just to say that these parameters are not constant in time, but when you do use a default profile, it's always considered as a constant variation. Yeah.
Sorry, insert a question, but is the profile information at different levels of the atmosphere, or is it all
Libratron does it over different levels. So it has an algorithm within it. So we just feed it the input, and then it does this variation across 120 kilometers of the atmosphere.
So it's measurements. How do you know what altitude?
So all this we do for ground-based measurements.
Okay.
Yeah. This, all the simulations and all the parameters that I use is only for ground-based measurements. So not 10 kilometers into the atmosphere.
So can you do the simulation from the Higgs? I mean, if your goal is to take the measured atmospheric content and simulate with Libratron and compare it to the spectral measurements, then you have to know at what levels these concentrations.
These concentrations are for ground-based. So when I'm comparing, I'm also comparing ground-based measurements, like you would need for daylighting simulations.
But you don't really know what's going on.
No, because this Libratron does it by itself. It sort of has a. I can't tell you a lot about it because it's really not my domain. But it already parameterizes it across different layers of the atmosphere.
It's heuristics where it knows.
Exactly.
Where it's, okay.
Yeah. So all right. We just need to give it one input and it modifies for the rest of the atmosphere. And then just a quick thing, because the comparisons that I showed, there is. I call it the liblog. Liblog is basically the simulation.
How long do you still have? I see 14 of 27.
Oh, it's just a lab. I mean, I have the comparison of the measured data and the lesson.
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Let's get extra time for all interruptions.
Okay. Okay. Liblog, libdev, it's just a terminology to say the simulations that are compiled with the location-specific data, they're called liblog, and the ones that are compiled with the default profile, it's called libdev, yeah? And just to see the comparison with the measured data, so here is the comparison of the broadband irradiances, so downward diffuse, downward direct, as well as the global irradiances. And just 2 points, if I can say from here, is that the orange ones are for the local profile. So you can really see for both the direct as well as the global that distribution of error is plus or minus 5%. And for the default profile, you can really see it underpredicts the direct. So basically the impact of the sun, it really underpredicts as well as. And so a result of that is also that the global irradiance is underpredicted. So on an average, if you look at the percentage difference using the local profile is plus or minus 4% error. Whereas, and it can go as low as to 0.8 for global irradiances, and that's about 20% for the default. And these are broadband irradiances, so watts per square meter. And the second comparison that I have here is of the spectra itself. So you can see we have 100 of these, basically, of spectral global irradiances, 100 of such, and 39 of those direct irradiances, which is of the sun. And if I can go to the root mean square errors of just the spectral global irradiances, so we have, and these are in the measurement unit, so watts per square meter nanometer. And if you see the default skies, it's 0.05, and the simulated skies is 0.03. And I know none of you know what that means in terms of the significance, and so I have this blue color one, which is basically a Yeti or a spectral radiometer, and I took the uncertainty percentage of, or measurement uncertainty percentage of this Yeti, which is plus or minus 2%. And I basically offset that to create an upper error bound and a lower error bound for all the measurements that I have, all the measurement data set I have, and got an RMSE error from that. You can ask me later what that means, but to let you know that the simulated local skies, they are very close to this uncertainty error of a measurement device, which means that at least for clear cloudless skies, it's maybe a high accuracy way to get the data. That's all I wanted to show with this screen. And the spectral irradiances, just to show the distribution of error, and here again 2 points, both the default really underpredicts the spectral global radiances, and it overpredicts the influence from the sun. And you can really see that in the case of the local profile, these are really low, so 0.3 and 0.5. But you see in the case of default, 0.2. It's a really a big jump from the 0.05 that we were seeing earlier. And then these are the third kind of analysis, which is just to say in terms of application. because we were curious to see what happens if we input this into radiance or LARC or all this multispectral simulation, if there is more blues or more greens, or where really the error is going. Could we see the error in the spectral channel? But anyway, so in the case of this blue, green, and red, this is based on the radiance split of the wavelength and how LARC uses as well to run the three-channel simulation. But you can see that the default has more errors in the green and the red channel. And there is a really a large error in all the three channels when you use the default profile for the sun. And this is just to show whether anything was being underpredicted, and it's the same as we saw before, that for spectral global irradiances, the default profile underpredicts it, and for the spectral direct irradiances, the default profile overpredicts it, but so it's the same conclusion that we have. And in terms of CCT, which is correlated color temperature, so this gives us a bit of information about the color of the sky, and if you take the case of the local profile, you can see that there is a good, strong, positive relationship with both the CCT measures. So these are correlated or CCT computed from the measured spectra, and this is CCT computed from the local one. And you can see that the default, it's really not well, about moderately related. Overall, it underpredicts a bit the CCT. But yes, in this case, it's okay. I really don't know why the correlation goes a bit weird there. And I tried to do this with also plotting the solar zenith angle, so seeing if there was an influence of the sun and was the error being caused maybe when the sun is lower in the sky or higher in the sky. And the only thing I can tell you from this chart is that when the sun is really higher in the sky, so solar zenith angle 40 to 50, there is a bit of underprediction happening when you use the default profile. I have no explanation for that. But the good news is that in the case of photopic lux or melanopic lux, if you use either the default profile or the local profile, the one that it's very strongly correlated in both the cases. The default profile, of course, because it underpredicts the global irradiances, it also underpredicts the photopic lux as well as the melanopic lux. But at least it's correlated and it's not as erratic as in the colors of the sky. Okay, so then the last slide, which is the conclusions, and what I would like to say is I think this framework of generating, at least with the atmospheric, using atmospheric model and inputting more available measured data of the atmosphere, gives you, at least for clear skies, a high accuracy data, for spectral data, because this data is anyways not being measured or it's very expensive to measure. Now, default profile, it outputs a large error when it comes to the sun, and it also, but it's still, these errors are much lower, I think, if you use the luminance to CCT models, that the default profile still has a lower error. And the last one is that, so Alpha uses the mid-latitude profile for all the locations. I'm not sure this errors can directly correspond to, because we are a mid-latitude location, Lindenberg is a mid-latitude location, but if I was to compare a default mid-latitude to a tropical climate, I'm not sure if these default errors might be much larger. And of course, more work is required for spectral radiances and to do it for other location data. We have a paper coming out in SISBAT, and this is in September. And in the spirit of promoting more use of location-specific data, we also have an open-source data package of 7 locations worldwide that will come out in the CIE conference.